Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman by Avram Goldar and today Masechus Ksubas Daf Chaf Dalad. Second parak Ha'isha Shinizar Mo'ad. The Zichud Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Brice, if two men say about each other, Ani Kohen v'Chaveri Kohen, Neman l'Achil b'Truma, I'm a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen. Each is believed to enable the other to eat truma. They know neman l'asi isha ad shiyushlosha, but not to the extent of marrying a woman of good yichus, unless there are three men, two of whom who testify about this one, and two of whom who testify about that one. Rashi explains that this is a ma'ala hiba yuchsin, a higher standard the Rabbanan set for kohanim requiring two witnesses. Rav Yehuda says he's not believed even to let the other one eat truma, unless there are three men, two of whom who testify about this one, and two of whom who testify about that one. The Gemara assumes that the machlokas is whether we are choshesh l'gomelin. We suspect collusion between them, and the Chachamim hold we're not suspect, and Rav Yehuda holds we are suspect. Rav explains that this contradicts their positions in another case, where donkey drivers are transporting grain, and one says, my grain is new, but my friend's is old. Mine has not been meistered, but his has. Whereas Rav Yehuda says we believe him, and the Chachamim say we do not. Rav Yehuda believes him here because we're dealing with Rabban Damai, and the Chachamim do not believe him because Kli Emunaso Biyado, his tools to sell, are in his hand, which indicates he intends to sell his grain, not just store it. Point number two, the Gemara brings an alternative explanation for the Malchukas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, saying, "B'malin metrumul yochsin kamiflige." They disagree whether we elevate a Kohen who eats truma to the status of one who has good Kohanic yichus. Rav Yehuda says that we do, and therefore two witnesses are required to permit one to eat truma, and the Chachamim hold we do not, and therefore each Kohen can testify about the other. The Gemara asks, "Malalas mashtaros l'yochsin." What's the halacha regarding elevating someone who's called a Kohen in a document to good Kohanic yichus? This is a case where someone wrote, "I, Pony Kohen, borrowed a mana from Pony, and witnesses signed on the shtar." Are they testifying only about the mana in the shtar, or everything in the shtar, including the description of the borrower as a Kohen? Rav Chunin and Rav Chisda disagreed. One said we do elevate, and the other said we do not. And pointing with you, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Avina disagree whether we elevate a Kohen based on his doing nisiyas kapayim, birchas kohanim. Rabbah brought a brisa to answer this question that taught the Nehemiah, referred to here as Hatir Shasa, forbade Kohanim with questionable yichus who returned from Bavel to eat from Kachim, but did permit them to eat truma based on the chazaka that they had eaten truma while in Galus. Rabbah inferred that these Kohanim could also continue doing Birchas Kohanim based on the chazaka they had done so in Galus, and said that if one who did Nesias Kapayim was elevated to good yichus, what was accomplished by prohibiting them from eating Kachim? The Gemara refutes this proof, saying, "Shani hached derei chazkayu." This situation was different because their status was widely known to be problematic. Rashi explains that everyone saw they were not permitted to eat kachim when everyone else was permitted, and nowadays, we're malum and nasiyas kapayim l'yuchsim. We do elevate to good yichus one who does at birchas kohanim. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Tana b'raisa, if two men say about each other, "Ani kohen v'chaveri kohen, neman l'achil b'truma, I'm a kohen and my friend is a kohen." Each is believed to enable the other to eat truma, they know neman l'asi isha ad shiyushlosha, but not to the extent of marrying a woman of good yichus, unless there are three men, two of whom who testify about this one, and two of whom who testify about that one. Rashi explains that this is a ma'ala hiba yuchsin, a higher standard the Rabbanan set for Kohanim requiring two witnesses. Rav Yehuda says he's not believed even to let the other one eat truma, unless there are three men, two of whom who testify about this one, and two of whom who testify about that one. The Gemara assumes that the machlokas is whether we are choshesh l'gomelin. We suspect collusion between them, and the Chachamim hold we're not suspect, and Rav Yehuda holds we are suspect. Rav explains that this contradicts their positions in another case, where donkey drivers are transporting grain, and one says, my grain is new, but my friend's is old. Mine has not been meistered, but his has. Whereas Rav Yehuda says we believe him, and the Chachamim say we do not. Rav Yehuda believes him here because we're dealing with Rabban Damai, and the Chachamim do not believe him because Kli Emunaso Biyado, his tools to sell, are in his hand, which indicates he intends to sell his grain, not just store it. Point number two, the Gemara brings an alternative explanation for the Malchukas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda, saying, "B'malin metrumul yochsin kamiflige." They disagree whether we elevate a Kohen who eats truma to the status of one who has good Kohanic yichus. Rav Yehuda says that we do, and therefore two witnesses are required to permit one to eat truma, and the Chachamim hold we do not, and therefore each Kohen can testify about the other. The Gemara asks, "Malalas mashtaros l'yochsin." What's the halacha regarding elevating someone who's called a Kohen in a document to good Kohanic yichus? This is a case where someone wrote, "I, Pony Kohen, borrowed a mana from Pony, and witnesses signed on the shtar." Are they testifying only about the mana in the shtar, or everything in the shtar, including the description of the borrower as a Kohen? Rav Chunin and Rav Chisda disagreed. One said we do elevate, and the other said we do not. And pointing with you, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Avina disagree whether we elevate a Kohen based on his doing nisiyas kapayim, birchas kohanim. Rava brought a brisa to answer this question that taught that Nehemiah, referred to here as Hatir Shasa, forbade Kohanim with questionable yichus who returned from Babel to eat from Kachim, but did permit them to eat truma based on the chazaka that they had eaten truma while in Galus. Rava inferred that these Kohanim could also continue doing Birchas Kohanim based on the chazaka they had done so in Galus, and said that if one who did Nesias Kapayim was elevated to good yichus, what was accomplished by prohibiting them from eating Kachim? The Gemara refutes this proof, saying, "Shani hacha derei chazkayu." This situation was different because their status was widely known to be problematic. Rashi explains that everyone saw they were not permitted to eat kachim when everyone else was permitted, and nowadays, we're malum and nasiyas kapayim liyuchsim. We do elevate to good yichus one who does at birchas kohanim. All right, so now we go to a siman daf chavdal, and our standard siman is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The two Kohanim holding pitchers labeled, "I'm a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen," decide to give them as gifts to two Kohanim who were elevated to Yuchsin based on eating Truma and what was written in a shtar. While one family of Kohanim from Galus with widely known problematic Yichus sadly looked on. Once again, it's a motion. The two Kohanim holding pitchers, that must be more daf Chav Dalet. The two Kohanim holding pitchers labeled, "I am a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen," which reminds us, it was taught in a brace of two men say about each other, "Ani Kohen v'chaviri Kohen, neman l'achil b'truma." I am a Kohen, my friend is a Kohen. Each is believed to enable the other to eat truma, but not to the extent of marrying a woman of good yichus, unless there are three men, two of whom testify about this one and two of whom testify about that one. Rashi explains that it's a malahiba yuchsin, a higher standard that the Rabbanan set for Kohanim, requiring two witnesses. Rav Yehuda says he's not believed even to let the other one eat truma, unless there are three men, two of whom who testify about this one, and two of whom who testify about that one. The Gemara assumes that the Machlokas is whether we are Choshesh L'Gomlin, whether we suspect collusion between them, and the Kohanim hold we're not suspect, and Rebut holds we are suspect. So the two Kohanim holding pitchers labeled, "I'm a Kohen, and my friend is a Kohen," decide to give them as gifts to two Kohanim, who were elevated to Yochsin based on eating Truma and what was written in a shtar, which reminds us, the Gemara brings an alternative explanation for the Malchokes between the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda saying, "But Malin Matrumo Yuchsin Kamukvige." They disagree whether we elevate a Kohen who eats Truma to the status of one who has good Kohanic Yuchus. And the Gemara asks, "Malu Lahalos Mishtarzo Yuchsin." What's the halacha regarding elevating someone who's called a Kohen in a document to good Kohanic Yuchus? Rav Huna and Rav Chisda disagreed. One said we do elevate, and the other said we do not. So the two Kohanim holding pitchers labeled, "I'm a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen," decide to give them as gifts to two Kohanim who were elevated to Yuchsin based on eating Truma and what was written in a shtar. While one family of Kohanim from Galus with widely known problematic Yichus sadly looked on. Which reminds us, Rav Chisda and Rabbi Avina disagree whether we elevate a Kohen based on his doing the Nesias Kapayim, Birkas Kohanim. Rava brought a brisa with Hatir Shasa, who's Nehemiah, who forbade Kohanim with questionable yichus who returned from Babel to eat from Kachim, but did permit them to eat Truma based on the chazaka that they had eaten Truma while in Galus. Rava inferred that these Kohanim could also continue doing Birkas Kohanim based on the chazaka they had done so in Galus, and said that if one who did Nesias Kapayim was elevated to good yichus, what was accomplished by prohibiting them from eating Kachim? The Gemara refutes this proof, saying, "Shani chaka derei chazkayo." This situation was different because their status was widely known to be problematic. So once again, the two Kohanim holding pitchers labeled, "I am a Kohen and my friend is a Kohen," decide to give them as gifts to two Kohanim who were elevated to Yuchsin based on eating Truma and what was written in a shtar. While one family of Kohanim from Galus with widely known problematic Yichus sadly looked on. All right, now it's time for four Vlabach Chazara. Dav Chav. So the Simmer Dav Chav is a cafe. So here goes. At the Basin Cafe, that must mean we're on Dav Chav. At the Basin Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, which reminds us, we do not certify a shtar except from a document that was challenged in Basin and was upheld. Those from the Hardah said that when there is no certified document, we may certify a shtar only from two ksubas, meaning the Adim had signed two previous ksubas, or from the bill of sale of two fields, provided that their owners harvested from them for 3 years peacefully without any challenges. So at the Basin Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, Kosev Adam Edusa al Hashtarim made Aleha Afil Achor Kamashanim. A person may write his testimony on a document and testify orally from it even many years later. Rav Huna said this applies only where he remembers the testimony on his own. Rashi explains that he remembers in general on his own and only uses the notes to fill in the details. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Afal pisha ein zochra me'atzmo." He may testify on it even if he does not remember the testimony on his own. So at the Beis Din Cafe, where two women were proudly telling their friends that their ksubas were recently used to authenticate signatures, sat a nervous witness reviewing his testimony notes, while his elderly waiter bragged that he could easily remember what happened over 60 years ago. Which reminds us, when Rav Chisda suggests that we can learn from Rav Meir that Eidus is remembered for up to 60 years, such as in the case of the tumah status of old mounds outside the Pather city, the Gemara rejects it, saying that in the case of the mound, since it was not incumbent on one person to remember, we suspect people forget after 60 years. But in the case of Eidus, since it's incumbent on the aid, he can remember it even after 60 years. Daf Chafav, so the Simur Daf Chafav is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. When the surviving witness drove his ka, ka, that must be more on Daf Chafav. When the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with his signature on it towards Beis Din, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shnama Kosumim al Shtar Umeis Echomehem. If two people sign on a shtar and one of them died, we need two people from the shuk to testify about a signature, and the surviving witness cannot be one of them. If there's only one aid who recognizes the signature of the deceased, Abai said, Lichtov Chasimas Yadeh al Chasba, let the surviving aid write his signature on a shard and throw it into Basin, and Basin will verify his signature on the shard so that he will not have to testify about his own signature. Then he and the other person from the shuk can testify about the other signature on the shtar, for he will be providing only one half of the testimony needed. The Gemara clarifies that he should not write his signature on a scroll, for perhaps a dishonest person will find it and write on it, above the signature, that the person owes him an amount of money. So, when the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with the signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an aid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarv, which reminds us, an aid and a dayan cannot be mitzdarv, since the aid, according to the Chachamim, is testifying about the amount of money in the shtar, and the dayan is testifying about its certification. So when the surviving witness drove his ka and tossed the clay shard with his signature on it towards Beis Din, it flew right between an aid and a dayan, who cannot be mitzdarif, and landed in front of two dayanim who were testifying before a third dayan that they recognized his signatures on a shtar, which reminds us, the Gemara revises one of Rav Huna's rulings to teach that if two of the three dayanim recognize the signatures on a shtar before they write the certification, mi'idim b'fanav v'chosam, they may testify before the remaining dayan about the signatures and then sign the certification afterwards. The Gemara infers from here, aid nasa dayan, that a witness may become a judge in the case where he testified. This does not apply with aid as a chodesh, which is a deraisa, but does apply with kiyum ha-shtar, the rabban, certification of shtaros, which is a deraban. Dav chav beis, so the simur dav chav beis is a cab. So here goes. The father was taking his young choshev and beautiful daughter in a cab. A cab? That must be more in Daf Chabez. The father was taking his young choshev and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, which reminds us, the pasuk of Ezbiti Nesati L'ish Hazeh is needed for what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Manayin L'av Shneman L'asur Ezbito Min HaTorah, from where in the Torah is it derived that a father is believed to forbid his daughter to all men by declaring that she's a married woman? The pasuk states, Ezbiti Nesati L'ish, my daughter have given to this man as a wife. So the father was taking his young choshev and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekudeshes when she wasn't, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa. If a woman said, I'm married, and then went back and said, I'm unmarried, she's believed that she is unmarried, even though her second statement contradicts her first one. Rav Bar Rav Huna said the brisa is discussing a case where she gave an amatla, a reasonable explanation for her first words. An incident related in a brisa with a prominent woman who was very beautiful, and many men jumped to try to be mekadesher, and she would say to them, I'm mekadeshes. Later she became mekadeshes, and when the rabban asked her how she could become mekadeshes to a different man, she explained that she would say she was mekadeshes to men who were not appropriate for her, so they wouldn't bother her. So the father was taking his young choshev and beautiful daughter in a cab to give to a certain man as a wife, and was proud when she told the cab driver she was already mekadeshes when she wasn't. Got frustrated when the cab got stuck between two eidim contradicting each other about whether a woman's husband died and another two about whether a woman was divorced, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if two eidim said that a man died and two other eidim said he did not die, his wife may not marry another man, but if she did, she doesn't have to leave him. But if two witnesses say a woman is divorced and another two women say that she's not divorced, she may not marry another man, and if she did, she must leave him. The Gemara explains why Rabbi Yochanan allows her to stay married when the issue is her husband's death, yet requires her to leave when the issue is divorce, and brings three explanations. Daf Chaf Gimel. So the simur Daf Chaf Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The courtyard Kugelach competition. Kugelach. That must be more in Daf Chaf Gimel. The courtyard kugelach competition was so captivating that the residents didn't see their neighbors Kedushin and Gerushin taking place in private, which reminds us, the Rav Ashi explained the difference between the two cases of two sets of eidim with contradictory eidus, whether a woman was mekudeshes or a woman was divorced, is when the witnesses say, Re'inuha sheniskadsha, we saw her become mekudeshes, and the second set they did not. The cases where the woman and witnesses live in the same chatzar. One might have thought that if she was mekudeshes, kala esri lamilsa, that there would have been a call amongst the neighbors and it would be known. The Brice is coming to teach the amte inchi to mekadesh betzina, that people sometimes mekadesh privately and it's not known. Therefore, she must leave the second husband. But in the second case regarding divorce, one might have thought that if the woman was divorced, kala esri lamilsa, it is something that would be publicized and well known to the neighbors. Therefore, the Brice is coming to teach that people do divorce privately, and if she marries, she does not have to leave the second husband. So the courtyard kugelach competition was so captivating that the residents didn't see their neighbors Kedushin and Gerushin taking place in private, nor notice the rabbi's two daughters being taken captive, which reminds us of the incident when Shmuel's daughters were taken captive. So the courtyard kugelach competition was so captivating that the residents didn't see their neighbors Kedushin and Gerushin taking place in private, nor notice the rabbi's two daughters being taken captive, who upon their return testified that the other one was Tahor and not violated. Which reminds us, the next mission states that if two women were captured by Nachrim, and Rashi explains that there were eidim, and each one said, Nishbesi utohrani, I was captured and impure, they're not believed. But if they testify for one another, they are believed. Rashi explains that the Rabbanim were lenient for a captive woman to believe one witness, and even a woman, that the captive was not violated. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we have the incident of Shmuel's two daughters being taken captive? That's on daf Chaf Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that a father can forbid his daughter to all men when he says, as biti nesati isha zeh? That's on daf Chaf Beis. Good. Number 3. Which of the we have a question whether we're malin with nesias kapayim liyuchsin, and we have the mice of Hatir Shasa and the family with questionable yichus? That's on daf Chaf Dalad. Good. Number 4. Which of the one that if one aide dies, then the second aide should write his signature on a shard for Basin to certify, and then he'll testify with another aide on the deceased signature. That's on Dav Chafav. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, according to one shot, the Machlok has been reviewed on the Chochomim in the case of one testifying that he and his friend are Kohanim, is whether we are Choshesh Gomlin. That's on Dav Chafdal. Good. Number 6. Which of the women that a woman can say that she's mukudeshes when she's not, in order that certain men do not bother her? That's on Dav Chabez. Good. Number 7. Which of the women that when there's no certified document, we may certify a shtar only from two ksubas, meaning the witnesses had signed two previous ksubas, or from the bill of sale of two fields? That's on Dav Chaf. Good. Number 8. Which of the women, we have a question whether they're malin matrumal yuchsin and from shtaros to yuchsin? That's on Dav Chavdal. Good. Number 9. Which of the women, when two captive women testify that the other one is Tahor, they are believed. And this is a cool the Rabbanim made for captive women. That's on Dav Chav Gimel. Good. And number 10. Which of the women, that an aid and a dayan cannot be mitztaref, since the aid is testifying about the amount in the shtar, and the dayan is testifying about its certification. That's on Dav Chafal. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.